Sounds good. Should I mine?
Yeah.
No?
You mind if I take notes on my phone?
You'd be great. Why were you mine?
Huh?
Why were you mine?
I
haven't seen it as an hour. You want to speak first?
No, please.
Okay, for shus. Have I Rubenstein Shlita? For shus the chevra. I want to try to learn together the connection between Purim and David HaMelech. My thoughts are still coming together. It was a busy afternoon and a busy night. We know from the writings of the Arizal, though it's a little bit unclear, there's a bit of machlokas even within the Ksavim, but it seems that Purim corresponds to the Sfira and the Midah of Netzach. It's a little bit questionable. The Sfarim talk about how in some places it seems to be Netzach, some places it seems to be Hod. It's a little unclear, Chanukah and Purim, which is Netzach, which is Hod. Usually we assume that Purim is Netzach and Chanukah is Hod, although there is some overlap. Even in, you look in Pesach Eliyahu, someone describes the different body parts, and it describes the It describes the ten spheros. So it describes how Chesed drawa yamina, Chesed is the right arm, Gvura drawa smola, Gvura is the left arm, Tiferes gufa, Tiferes is the body, is the torso, Netzach vahod, train shokin. Netzach and Hod are the two thighs or the two legs, doesn't specifically assign right and left. The pashtus is that Purim is Netzach, and Chanukah is Hod, Lahodos Ulahalel, Shuasav Ha'isa LaNetzach. The Pashas of the Sfarim say is that Purim is Netzach, and Chanukah is Hod. But again, there's some overlap. But let's work with the Mahalach that Purim is Netzach. Shuasam Ha'isa LaNetzach. Netzach, the very word itself, means something that's eternal. And if there's anything we know about the Yontov of Purim, anything we know about the Mahalach of Purim, the unfolding of Purim, and the future of Purim, is that Purim has a very bright future. As opposed to the enemy of Purim, Amalek, who's Achriso Adeove, that Amalek, Rishis Goyim Amalek, they got off to a strong start. Hedyot Kofetz LaRosh, Gemara says that Haman jumped up to speak. They try to get off to a strong start. But part of the reason that they're so active at the beginning, they present themselves as being so dominant, is simply because they're trying to mask the fact that they don't have kiyum, they don't have lasting power, and therefore Amalek has no future. And of course, the Zelu Mazeh, the Yom Tov of Purim, the Megillah, has an unbelievable koach of Netzach to last forever. And that's the last Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Megillah, where the Rambam says that in the future, all of the Sifrei Nevi'im Uksuv are going to be batel, with the exception of Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther is on par with the Torah, that it's l'netzach, it's forever. It's not going to be batel. And the Yom Tov of Purim is not going to be batel. It's going to last forever. It's the Sefer, along with Torah's Moshe, it's the Sefer that we're going to go to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. So when you think about it, when you think about a Yom Tov that's so futuristic, and you think about a Megillah that has such a lasting power, that has such an inyan of Netzach, that it's the Sefer, it's really the Sefer of Mashiach, it's the last Gemara in Yoma, Daf Chavtes, it's the last part of Tanakh ever to be written, Esther Esov Kol Anisim, Mamish, the Sefer that takes us all the way till the end, has this Koach of Netzach. So you start to think, as we do by all the Yom Tov, we try to think, who's the personality? Whose life can we study? Olam Shana and Nefesh. Who's the Nefesh, so to speak, of Purim? Which tzaddik, which great Torah personality is the spiritual embodiment in a person of the Yom Tov of Purim? And there's a lot of good choices. Usually we say that Moshe is Netzach, Aaron is Hod. And there's a lot to talk about Moshe and Mordechai. Moshe plays a big part in the Yeshua of Purim. But of course, if we're talking about Mashiach, if we're talking about the Sefer that's going to take us to Mashiach, then it makes a lot of sense to think that maybe Purim has something to do with Davar HaMelech. Because the whole hope of Klal Yisrael for Mashiach, for the Gula Shleima, is the restoration of Malchus Beis David. And David has this Midah of Netzach. David, alongside Moshe in an unusual way, has this Midah of Netzach. There's a Sefer called Binyan Ariel. In the Binyan Ariel, in Parshas Bechukosai, he explains a little bit of a cryptic Gemara in Maseches Sota, where the Gemara says that anything that was created by Moshe Rabbeinu or David HaMelech has a koach of Netzach. It was Nignas. The handiwork of Moshe and David is put away, it's not destroyed. It has an aspect of Netzach. It has a certain quality to last forever. You can look in the Pachad Yitzchak, Sukkos Lamed Ches, where Afunder says that David HaMelech was the only one to be anointed the way that he was, B'Shem HaMishcha. And therefore, David HaMelech, because he has the Shem HaMishcha, Afunder explains based on a Ramban, that because David is unique in that he is anointed in that way, David also has a quality of Netzach through the Shem HaMishcha. That just like the Shem HaMishcha has a certain nitzchias to it, Rufunda writes again, Pachi Yitzchak Sukkos Lamed Ches, that there's an inyan of Netzach. There's an inyan of Netzach. Okay, so if Purim is, again, like it says in Ksavim, like it says in Kisvei, that Purim is this inyan of Netzach, so it makes sense that David HaMelech, if Purim is an inyan of the future, it's the safer we take to greet Mashiach, it makes sense that David HaMelech would somehow have a strong kesher in some deep way to the Megillah. There's an amazing sefer called the Medrash Talpios. Medrash Talpios is filled with all sorts of wondrous things, unusual things. A lot of it's alpin nistar, but much of it's understandable. At least you could read the words. What you do with it is another question. In the Medrash Talpios, it tells us the following. The Ben Ish Chai brings this in one of his commentaries on Megillas Esther. And again, it highlights the fact that Haman and Amalek have a hisnagdus to David HaMelech. Ki Yadua, the Bnei Yisachar says, in explaining the Pesukim at the end of Bishalach, Ki Yad al Keska, that Amalek has a hand on Keska, that Amalek blocks out a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei, and blocks out a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. So the Bnei Yisachar says, Keska is Gematria Haman, Keska is 95, Haman is 95. But the Bnei Yisachar also says that, but Kisei David is also 95. Kisei David is also 95. Because again, the victory over Amalek is not just the restoration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, but it's the restoration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne by way of David HaMelech, by way of David HaMelech HaMashiach. So the Medrash Talpios brings an unbelievable thing. Medrash Talpios says that Haman not only was Haman busy with lotteries, but Haman was busy with dice. He was Masachik Bekuvio. He liked to play with the dice. He was a gambler. He was a person who was always rolling the dice, and checking the fortune cookies, you know. Reading the horoscope, he was into all of those things. So it says that Haman rolled the dice. Haman HaAgagi rolled the dice, and he was so excited. He rolled a one, he rolled a three, and he rolled a three. Aleph Gimel Gimel Agag. Haman HaAgagi. It's a good simon. What's on the other side of 133? It's true about our dice today. It holds true. Check it. Right. On the other side of 133 is what? Anyone know? Hopefully not. 464. On the other side of 133 is 464. Right? On the other side of a 3 is a 4, and the other side of a 1 is a 6. So Haman's doubly excited. He says, 133 on top, Agag on top. Haman comes from Agag, the Melech of Amalek. And 464 on the bottom. Dalet vav dalet, David on the bottom. Agag on top, David on the bottom. He saw it as an unbelievable sign. Explain that Haman, because he was a control freak, as we see throughout the Megillah, Haman always needs to be completely in control. He wants to just make sure. He knows that on the bottom of 133 is 464, but he wants to just check. Just to make sure. I want to see David on the bottom. And Haman flips over the dice just to make sure. And in his excitement, when he sees that on the bottom is 464, is Dalid Vav Dalid. In his excitement, he runs out to go tell his family the good news, and he leaves the dice with Dalid Vav Dalid on top, with David Melech on top, and Agag on the bottom. It's the problem of a person who has no bitachon. It's all about his ishtadlus. So Vinahafachu, he flipped the dice and he ruined himself. But again, you see from this very fascinating medrash, this fascinating idea from the medrash Talpios, that there's this Indian, there's this zelu umazeh of Agag, of Amalek, and David HaMelech. Rav Shlomo Fisher in the Drashos Beis Yishai, in Drasha Lamed Gimel, brings an unbelievable remez. He says, we know already from the Torah that the Gimel Regalim correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuos, Yaakov is Sukkos. Yaakov made Sukkos for his animals. So he says, who's Purim? If the Avos at the three big regalim, so who's Purim? Who's Purim? So he says, maybe David HaMelech is Purim. Maybe David HaMelech is Purim. We know that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David are often seen as a package, as the Merkava Shlema. There's a sefer called Darash Moshe, not Moshe Feinstein, a different Darash Moshe. And in Drush Lamed Tes, he says that Avram plus Yitzchak plus Yaakov plus David is Gematria Merkava Shlema, complete Merkava. Those are the four wheels of the chariot, of the divine chariot, so to speak. So Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And David, Malka Mashiach, is Purim. That's what Shlomo Fisher says in Drashos Beis Yishai. And he says an unbelievable remez to bring out this idea. He says, how many years did Avram live? 175. How many years did Yitzchak live? 180. How many years did Yaakov live? 147. So how many years did Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov live in total? 502. 502 are the number of years of the Avos. How many years did David HaMelech live? David HaMelech lived for 70 years. So says Rav Shlomo Fisher, we know that every Yom Tov we celebrate with Basar and Yayin. But on Purim B'davka, Yayin is more dominant than Basar. Yayin is more dominant than Basar. So he says, if you add up the lives of the Avos, 175 plus 180 plus 147 is 502 is Gematria Basar. But the life of David HaMelech, 70 years of David HaMelech is Gematria Yayin. And he says, therefore, the Avos correspond to the Gilmer Galim, and David corresponds to Yayin, David corresponds to Purim. And again, if it's this Mahalach, if it's that David is Netzach, if it's that David is the Zelu Maseh of Amalek, of Agag, the bottom of the dice, so to speak, that ended up on top. This, by the way, Derech Agav explains why is it that Rava is the one who says, Mechayiv Inish L'Besumi B'Purai Adol Yalda? Why Dafka Rava? It's interesting. What, no one before Rava thought to drink on Purim? Rava came along and Megillah Daf Zayin was Mechadesh, you need to drink Adol Yada. No one ever thought of such a thing. There's a sefer called Shtei Yados from Avram Chizkuni. It's in this week's Parsha Tetzaveh. So he says, the answer is Pashut based on an Arizal. The Arizal, Lekutei Torah and Lech Lecha, says that we know, the Arizal says, or at least the Arizal knew, now we know, Arizal knew that Rava's neshama was connected to Lod. That Rava, from the Gemara, Rava's neshama was bound up with Lod. He says that's why the pasuk says Vayichu es Lod ves rechusho ben achi Avram. He says Arizal writes in Lekutei Torah Lech Lecha, rechusho ben achi is Rashi Tevos Rava. That Rava's neshama was mekusher to Lod. And somehow we have to extract, we have to somehow detach and redeem and extract the neshama of Rava from Lot. What do we know about Lot? We know that Lot, we talk about Shichrus, we talk about Lot, Shichruso Shalot. Lot got drunk with wine. Lot impregnated his own daughters. Ammon and Moab come from Lot. David HaMelech comes from Lot. But if Rava is a nitzot neshama from Lot, and Lot was nichshol b'yayin on some level that he committed this act of arayos with his own daughters, right? So Rava has to be the one to be metakin the Indian of Yayin. And that's why Rava is the one who says, Machayiv inish l'besumim p'raya ad l'yada. And it's not just there, you look through Shas, Rava is always busy with wine. There are many statements of Chazal, the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Sukkah. Rava always has comments about wine, because Rava understands that his Shorash Neshama is deeply connected to the load, and because that he used to be mitaken, again, that small pagam that took place with Lot and his daughters, which came about by way of Yayin. So David HaMelech's whole Shoresh being found in Lot has a strong kesher to Yayin. Everything that happens on Purim, and again it's an arichus, just want to say a little bit of it now, I'm sure many of us know something about it, everything that happens on Purim already finds its origin by Adam and Chava, by Gan Eden. That Adam is Mordechai, and Chava is Esther, and the Nachash is Haman, many Ramazim on this Inyan. Eva Ashis, that there's going to be an Eva between the Nachash and mankind, because of what happened there. Kilos Yaakov says, Eva is Rashitevos, Ish Yehudi Hayil Beshushan. Haman is Rashitevos, Hu Mishorash Nachash. A lot of connections between Haman and the Nachash. We know that when the Nachash caused Chava to eat from the fruit, and Chava is explaining her misbehavior, so she says, Hanachash Hishiani, the Nachash Hishiani, the Nachash tricked me, it's not my fault. I got tricked by the Nachash. So the Svarma Kadoshim say, Hishiani are the Osios Hayesh and Ani. Or Hayesh and Ayin. Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu im Ayin, like it says by Amalek. The pasuk right before, Amalek comes to attack Klal Yisrael. Hishiani is Osios Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu im Ayin. Hayesh and Ayin. The question that Amalek tries to get us to ask. But the Ravid explains, Ravid had many different Svarim, some very deep Kabbalistic Svarim. The Ravid says that there's two names of Hashem that were damaged at this time. The name of Hashem, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, and the name Shakai, Shin Dalid Yud. What happens if you take the Dalid out of Aleph Dalid Nun Yud? You're left with Aleph Yud Nun, Ayin. What happens if you take the Dalid out of Shin Dalid Yud, of Shakai? You're left with Yud and Shin, you're left with Yesh. So Hishi Ani, Hayesh Hashem Bikabinam Ayin, is really these two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adnos, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, and Shin Dalid Yud, with the Dalids extracted. Who is the one whose whole avodah is to be metaking these two Dalits to fight against the Malik? The one whose very name is Dalit V'Dalit, David Melech. David's whole mahus is Dalit V'Dalit. David Melech is the antithesis of a Malik in every way. A Malik is Gaiva, all the Sfarim say. Ram is Gematria, a Malik. David Melech, the Sfarim say, the Chiddush Arim says, his name, Dalit V'Dalit. What does Dal mean? Dal means poor, humble, simplistic. David is the Indian of Malchus, Les Lemi Garmei Klum, like it says in the Sfarim, like it says in Zohar. Is nothing of his own. He's totally mavatal himself. The whole Indian of putting the Dalits back into Adnos and into Shakai and to recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu, the celebration of Purim, Yud Dalit Adar, Yud Dalit is Gematria David, Kol HaPoshet Yad, Nostin Lo, Yad is Gematria David, many Inyanim, the Mechama Al Hashem Ba'amalik, Midor Dor, Dalit Reish, the whole Avodah, making sure that the Dalit of Echad doesn't turn into Acher. Like it says in Kisisa, El Acher is Gematria Malik. The Arizal says the Avodah says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad with a big Dalit. So David's whole Indian Dalit V'Dalit, more Dalit, more Dalit, more recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, more Elokus, more rejection of the El Acher, which is a Malik, Dalus and more Dalus. David Melech, the first time we meet him in Tanakh, he's called Hakatan. And the Gemara in Megillah says in Daf Yud Aleph that David Melech is a Katan who bikatnuso. He's a katan from beginning to end. As opposed to a Malik who's filled with gaiva from beginning to end. So David HaMelech has a strong kesher to Purim. But I want to go one step further. Because I was working on the Indian of David in Purim, and I was working on the Indian of Tchiyas HaMesim in Purim. Tchiyas HaMesim in Purim is a big Indian. When Rava says, B'chai v'inish l'besumi b'puray, a person's supposed to drink on Purim. So immediately afterwards, the Gemara tells the story of Tchiyas HaMesim. That Rab and Rabbi Zeira got together for a Suda, and Rabbi Zeira was shechted. And Tchiyas HaMesim, he brought him back. He brought him back from the dead. And it was able to be a big miracle. Mechayiv Inish. Yoni and I were learning the other day, we saw the Satmar Rebbe brings, the only Chiyuv of Anpurim, it's a strong Lashon. Mechayiv is a strong Lashon. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say Mechayiv to read the Megillah. Lashon of Chayiv is a very strong Lashon. Satmar Rebbe said, Chayiv, Bechayiv Inish. That's the chiyuv of Purim. The ikar chiyuv of Purim is the drinking. And immediately after, it introduces us to the main chiyuv of Purim. It tells a story about Tchiyas HaMesim. It tells a story about Rab and Rabbi Zera. It tells a story of Tchiyas HaMesim. The whole story of Purim is the story of Tchiyas HaMesim. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Gemara is trying to figure out, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Gemara says it should be a davar pashut that we say Hallel on Purim. If we say Hallel on Pesach when we went from Avdus to Cheirus, so when we go from Misa to Chayim, when we go from being dead to being alive, Alachas Kama V'Kama, Purim. Purim is, the Gemara calls Purim a Misa L'Chayim. It's Tchiyas HaMesim Amish. Purim is, the holy name of Purim is Tchiyas HaMesim. So what does it mean, Tchiyas HaMesim? What's the soda of Tchiyas HaMesim? Gemara says that there was no one who knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. It's the greatest Baal Lashon Hara ever. What was Haman's Lashon Hara? In one phrase, Yeshno Am Echad. And how does the Gemara understand Yeshno Am Echad? There is this one nation. Yeshno Am Echad. There is this one nation. The Gemara understands Yeshno as a Lashon of what? As a Lashon of, who remembers? They're sleeping. Right? Yesheinim in a mitzvos. Sheina, they're in a state of, they're for shluffin. The Jews are fast asleep. And Achashver says, I don't know, what about the tzaddikim? Nah, most of the Jews are sleeping. And if most of the Jews are sleeping, even the tzaddikim aren't going to be able to save them. The Jews are asleep. The Jews are fast asleep. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Nun Zayin that when a person's asleep, that sleep is the 60th of death. So Haman, the greatest Lashon Hara that was ever spoken against Klal Yisrael by the greatest Baal Lashon Hara, is that the Jews are asleep. Sleep has a kesher to death. A 60th means, like the Maariv Tzchias writes in Sota Daf Hei, a 60th of something means that there's mamashus, right? When we say something's batel b'shishim, if you have 60 portions of something, you have 60 portions of soup, can I get a drop of milk? So then the drop of milk is batel. But if it's 1/60th, that means that there's something real there. So when Haman says the Jews are asleep, and Chazal say sleep is a 60th of death, that means Haman says the Jews are dead. The Jews are dead. It wasn't just that there was a Haman wanted to kill us. Haman was megal of the fact that the Jews are dead. But the secret of Tchiyas HaMesim is that even when a Jew is dead, he's not really dead. The secret of Tchiyas HaMesim, look in the Avodas Yisrael, in the Kashas Ramag and Parshas Vayishlach, he says, if Chazal are able to say that sleep is a 60th of death, if sleep is a 60th of death, that means if in your sleep there's some real taste of death, but that means when you're dead, you're also just really asleep. You're not really dead. It goes in both directions. If sleep has a real kesher to death, that means death has a real kesher to sleep. That means death by a yid is not really dead. And Kazar Samagit says, because when a person is dead, when a yid is dead, he's not really dead. There's a kista d'chiyusa, there's a spark of life from which Tchiyas HaMesim is going to take place. So to an outsider's perspective, to a Haman's perspective, sleep could be equated with death. But a yid who's able to see Ba'omek Pnimi says, nah, sleep is not really dead. There's a kista d'chiyusa, there's a spark that's still alive on the inside. There's a potential for Tchiyas HaMesim here. And therefore the whole story of Megillas Esther is the story of Tchiyas HaMesim. It was a Klal Yisrael who, b'derech ha-teva, through the eyes of Haman, through the eyes of the world, the Jewish people were dead. The Gezeira was signed and sealed. It was not able to be retracted. Achashverosh says it was signed, but Tabas HaMelech, there's no way to retract it. It's basically done. It's been signed and sealed. There's nothing that can be done to undo this gzeira of Misa. Why do we drink on Purim? Why do we drink on Purim? A little bit every year we want to show Haman that dead is not really dead. There's a beautiful sefer called Seder Hayom. Seder Hayom. In the sefer Seder Hayom, he brings an unbelievable thing. He says it's a very strange thing, the amount of drinking that people do. I'm not encouraging it. Seder Hayom was maybe encouraging. I'm not necessarily encouraging it. A person has to be careful. It's mamash dangerous sometimes. But there is an Indian. By big tzaddikim, they drink a lot. Mamash kishechusa shavlot, tikkun of rava. And it's a big Indian. So what's this Indian? It's a strange Indian. It says the Seder Hayom. And the Seder Purim. Ubevnei mach chayivu bezeh. Achashu inyan kaved v'kasha. It's a difficult thing to be so well. A person gets drunk and Sometimes a person passes out. If he's not literally passed out, he's lying on the floor. A lot of Yidden lying on the floor on Purim. Shemati tam she'acher shehaman arasha bikesh lahashmid laharug la'abir l'shvoch dam ha'yehudim. Since Haman wanted every Jew dead on the floor, nasa inyan karov l'zeh mitoch simcha. So says the Seder Yom every year on Purim. We show Haman, yeah, you want us to be dead? Look, we're dead. But we get up the next day. Pick ourselves up, we get up the next day. Jews passed out on the floor. Achanishar kemesim mushkavim arza. Umitzar acher uchishev lishpoch dam vanu noisiv dam al damenu. By drinking the red wine, it increases our blood. Superficially, it looks like the day that the Jews aren't even going to make it. Klai Yisrael's not going to survive this day. That's how shver the matzav sometimes is. Right? But the reality is, Klai Yisrael picked themselves up. And if you have inner eyes to see what's happening on that day, you realize that what's happening on that day is a very deep thing. That the Jews are more alive maybe than ever on that day. On the day that it looks adlo yada, it's the day that maybe a little bit we do yada. A little bit we do know what's going on. Tapping into something so much deeper. Something so much more real. So therefore, comes along Haman and says, that's the end of Klal Yisrael. It's the end of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed. But the whole secret of Purim, the whole sod of Megillah Esther is that Megillah is never going to be batal. Megillah is never going to be batal. It's netzach. That even if it looks like it only has so much koach to last for so long, and at some point Klal Yisrael's collapsing, as the Jews in Shushan were collapsing, literally bowing before Haman, collapsing on the ground before Haman, and Haman looks to be winning. Gemara in Zvachim says in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Baalei Chaim, Chashivi v'lo batli. The fact that Megillah is not batal, the fact that Purim is not batal, means that the whole Mahus of the day, it's a day that what? Of not being batal means it's a day of Baalei Chaim, it's a day of Chiyus. It's a day where superficially it looks like Klal Yisrael is in big trouble. But it's a time of Mimisa L'chaim. We should say Halal, the Gemara says. It's Mamish Misa L'chaim. Yerushalmi says that the actual Purim story took place, in an other Sheni. Yerushalmi says, to Yerushalmi Megillah in the first parak in Halacha Hay, it says that, quotes a pasuk that makes it sound like it was in the 12th month, but the Karban Eidah explains, it was in the month that's usually the 12th month. The actual Purim story took place in the 13th month. The Bavli uses such a lashon in figuring out what day you're allowed to read the Megillah. The 14th and 15th, they wrote in Megillah Esther. The 11th and 12th, we learn from a hint in Megillah Esther. The 13th is a davar pasha. Yud Gimel Zman Kehil L'Choli. It's a vada you can read on the 13th. The number 13 is very deeply connected to Megillah Esther. The real Purim story took place in the 13th month. The 13th of Adar is Zman Kehil L'Choli. Lo Tzarech L'Ribuyei. It's a davar pashut. Then on the 13th, you're able to read the Megillah. What's the inyan of 13? 13 is a big number by Klal Yisrael. But if we think about the 13, think about the Yud Gimel Ikarin. Think about the 13th of the Yud Gimel Ikarin. What's number 13 in the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarin? That a Yid believes in Tchiyas HaMesim. Right, the last thing that a Jew needs to believe, so to speak, the Achron of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, in the Dor HaAchron, in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, as we march towards the Gula Shleima, the green Mashiach, with the one book of Tanakh that's able to survive, that's able to stand, that's somehow able to pick itself up after it's knocked out, that it's passed out on the floor. When Haman says, Yesh no amachad, look, they're sleeping, and sleeping is death. But Klal Yisrael says, nah, you don't understand, sleeping's not really dead. Kiss the Dechiyusa, Klal Yisrael's going to pick themselves up. They're going to start over, be able to revive themselves. The first words of the Megillah merames to this. Maybe two more minutes and then... If you look in the Rokeach, the first thing the Rokeach writes, the very first thing the Rokeach writes when he starts to really expound the Megillah, he quotes from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Vayihi me'ach Hashverosh, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now in the footnotes here of this Rokeach, Chaim Kanievsky, he says, Lo Matzasi. I don't know where this medrash is. Okay, so the Rokeach, quoting Rashbi, Chaim Kanievsky can't find it, you know it's a sod. You know it's a deep thing. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Kol Vayihi, Vayihi b'me'ach HaShverosh, Kol Vayihi, the foundation of Kriyas HaMegillah, where it all begins, where the whole story starts, Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, says Rishon Bar Yochai, kol vayehi tchiyas ha-mesim. Every vayehi is tchiyas ha-mesim. And he brings different places where we see such an idea. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, and he says, but the ultimate one, the one that he's expounding here, vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, amar Mordechai v'hegen al Yisrael, v'hechiyas ha-olam. Tchiyas ha-mesim for the whole world. Perms tchiyas ha-mesim for the whole world. Because if Klai Yisrael die, the world dies. So if Klai Yisrael go Mimisa Lachayim, like the Lashon of the Gemara and Daf Yudalid, then it's mamish, the whole world is saved. This is the 13th Yud Gimel Ikarim. Again, Chodesh Adar Sheni, which is, again, we don't not Zocha this year to an Adar Sheni. But the real Purim story is an Adar Sheni. It extends all the way into the Chodesh HaYud Gimel. Yud Gimel's Man Kiel Lecholhi. So now we come back to David Melech. David HaMelech understood that he was the Kalach, that he was a big Kalach to fight against the Malik. So much so, B'nai Yisachar brings in Maimer Vav, in Oz Tes Zayin, Medrash Shochar Tov, on Tehillim, that David HaMelech davened that I want to have a kesher to the victory. I don't want Mordechai and Esther to get all the credit. B'nai Yisachar brings a Medrash, Zachareini Hashem B'Ritzon Amcha, Pasuk in Tehillim, or Amecha maybe, I'm not sure, Amar David, Ribon HaOlamim, Kishetase Yeshua al Yedei Mordechai Zochreini. David HaMelech daven to the Ribono Sholom. When Klal Yisrael has the ultimate Yeshua, Mimisa Lachaim Tchias HaMesim, Mamish selling Mashiach Dik. When they have the ultimate Yeshua, David says, I want to be a part of that because I'm Mashiach. I'm Melech Mashiach. I want to have a hand in that. Zochreini, remember me, Ribono Sholom. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, you think Mordechai and Esther are the saviors of Purim? Chayecha. Lecha on a medacher kadmai. I'm going to mention you first. Ish Yehudi, Shahayim Yishevet Yehuda, Va'acher Kachu Shema Mordechai. First, we're going to talk about you, David HaMelech. We're going to talk about Shevet Yehuda, and only afterwards we're going to talk about Mordechai. You look at the life of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, 70 years, Gematria Yayin, like Shlomo Fisher said. You look at the life of David HaMelech, who's the Katan, the one who no one said would be a Melech. He's Katan. He was bekanusa mitchilaso v'atzofa. From beginning to end, he's a katan. He's an anav. He's dalid v'dalid, like Chedushim says. He's the weakest of the weak, the lowest of the low, the simplest of the simple. David Melech's whole life is tchias amesim. He's supposed to live a couple of hours. And that was supposed to be the end of him. And Adam Arishon, Adam the Arishon says, Adam, David Mashiach, it's all one sugya. That Adam Arishon, where the Nachash Hishiyani, Adam Arishon donated 70 years of his life to David Melech. At the end of his life, the Medrash says that Adam Rishon regretted it. He tried to back out of the deal. He didn't want David to have it. David's whole life is hanging in the balance. David's enemies are constantly on the verge of taking his life. David Melech's life is questioned. It's questioned whether he's a kosher Jew, questioned whether he's a Melech. His whole life is one big suffix. And it's mamish, all these ups and downs, tchias ha-mesim over and over and over again in the life of David Melech. Sudas Malava Malka, where a Jew gets his sustenance from. For Tchias HaMesim comes from what? It's the Sud of David HaMelech. David HaMelech's whole story, his whole life, is the story of Tchias HaMesim. And therefore, the story of Purim is the story of David HaMelech. The story of Klal Yisrael reviving themselves when they were basically dead. And every year, a Yid drinks on Purim, Rava and Lot. And like the Seder Yom says, you're passed out on the floor, and it looks like a Yid barely has any kiyum. He can't pick himself up anymore, but he's tapping into the deepest levels. The Tilbash Esther Malchus. Says the Gemara, it should have said Vitilbash Esther Big Day Malchus. The Gemara says Vitilbash Esther Malchus. It means that Esther girded herself in Ruach HaKodesh. Says Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, Ruach HaKodesh Mevia Yidei Tchias HaMesim. The whole story of Purim, the Ruach HaKodesh of Esther. Right? Esther says Kizvuni Lidoros. Prove that my book is also Ruach HaKodesh. Show that Klal Yisrael can go from Ruach HaKodesh to Tchias HaMesim. That they can come in that 13th month. They can come to that 13th principle of Jewish belief. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his whole mahus is Tchias HaMesim, like the Sfarim say. Shimon Ben Yochai, the Sfarim say, is Gematria Machai Mesim, 553. Shimon Bar Yochai says, Vayihi B'mei HaChashverosh, the whole story is what? Is the story of Tchias HaMesim. It's the story of Klal Yisrael going weiter. It's the story of David HaMelech, the underdog, pulling off victory over Goliath and over all of his enemies, and proving that he's a Bar Kayama, that Bali Chaim, Einam B'Telem, just like Megillah Esther is not batal, and the Yotav of Purim is not batal. So Mir Tashem, we should be zochet to see the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Emunoso The way we talk about Tchias HaMesim and Tefillah, we say Mekayim HaMenasa Lishenei Ofar. That those who are Yeshenim, that Haman, the Rasha, the new Lashon Hara, like no one ever in the world. Lashon Hara B'Gamatria Esther, the Svarim say. Right, Esther 661, Lashon Hara 661. It's again, Zelu Maseh. That Haman who tried to slander us to say Klal Yisrael is dead. Right, we're going to show you, we're going to celebrate, we're going to be drinking, we're going to be celebrating, we're going to be being Mosiv Dam. On the dam, you wanted to take away our dam. We're going to be Mosiv Dam through the red wine that we're going to drink. The Klal Yisrael is going to go from a level of Ruach HaKodesh to the level of Tchias HaMesim. It's an unbelievable celebration. It's an unbelievable simcha. And it's all b'schus David Malka Mashiach. We should be zochet to see him with our own eyes. M'her b'yamein on.
It's chus once again to be back. I'm going to share something tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, which wouldn't be shared in most audiences. But I really feel that the Chevei Yeshiva here are connected to Ramesh Tzvi, are B'nai Aliyah, Baruch Hashem. And on the surface, not just on the surface, it's madrigas. And I'm certainly not holding on such a madriga. But to know such a musig exists, and to have a shaykhis, and to be aware of such an inyan in Avodas Hashem, which is so central, yet so foreign to us, especially in the Galus which we live in, Galus America, is of extreme importance. The Nes of Purim, the whole story of the Megillah, like most episodes in Tanakh, but yet a little bit different, can be observed from so many different perspectives and ways and understandings. Like the Gemara says, Tokfo, that they wrote, Tokfo Shal Neis, is a Tokfo Shal Achashverosh, Tokfo Shal Haman, Tokfo Shal Mordechai, Tokfo Shal Esther. Like, who is the main character? How do we follow their story? There's so many stories which are intertwined one with each other. And so therefore, depending on where we place the nakuda of what the Megillah is about, will bring out a different focus, a different ikar. There's an akudu which Sadiq can focus on when it comes to the Nes. And that's the relevance of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. That the role that it plays from beginning to end in the Nes of Purim. The Megillah has very few words in describing who Mordechai is. We find by Noach, the Torah is Mayrech, he's an Ish Tzadik, Tamim Hayabedoroisav. And by other Tzadikim related, recorded in Tanakh, we have somewhat less, somewhat more. When it comes to Mordechai, the words are very few and unusual. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. He's an Ishimini. And what we have is Hashir Haglam Yerushalayim. Im HaGoylash HaGlisah. Our whole description of Mordechai Tzadik we sing in a tune of Eicha. And this is Mordechai, who we could have said about him, the things which Chazal darshan about him, that he's from the Lishchas Hagazis, that he was Yodea Shivim Lashon, that he was Malachi, he was a Navi, he was a Baal Ruach HaKadosh. Of all of the facets of Mordechai at Tzaddik, he's called Tzaddik. How many people were zeichet to the term Tzaddik? That he was an Ish Asher Hoglim Yerushalayim. That he's a man of Yerushalayim. That he was a man who was expelled from his land and he had to come into Golas. This is how we know Mordechai at Tzaddik. The Gemara, in the middle of the second parak, tells us that when Haman comes in and tells Achashverosh his plan, and the Melech says, perfect, that's the exact thing which I had in mind, let's do it to Mordechai Yehudi. So the Gemara says, Amrlei mino Mordechai. So of course Haman was in shock and he says, which Mordechai? So he said, Amrlei HaYehudi. Says the Jew, Mordechai the Jew. So Haman replies, Tuva Mordechai ikab Yehudai. There's many Jews with the name Mordechai. So the king says, Hayoshe b'shar melech. Explaining why the Megillah says, Kachas alavosh v'esasus v'asuchein l'mordechai Yehudi hayoyshe b'shar melech. After the king zeroes in on this is the Mordechai the Jew who is yoyshe b'shar melech, Haman knows exactly who he's talking about. And you know why? Because after 70 years of Golus, after Belshazzar throwing a party and Achashverosh celebrating it for 180 days, plus, that there will be no more rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. There were very few Yidden who were Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. Now what does this Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech mean? This is the description of Mordechai Tzaddik. If you trace from the beginning of the Megillah to the end, we find 7 times that Mordechai is called the Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. That when the Besulos were gathered for a second time, Mordechai was sitting at the Shah HaMelech. Now what does one have to do with the next? We'll see in Bez Hashem, if we remember. Bayamim Haheim, a couple of psukim later, it was in those days, Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. Mordechai was still sitting by the Shah HaMelech. And at that time, Katzav, Big Sam Vaseresh, and that was from where the Nes gave birth. That was because Mordechai was Matzil, the king, as he was sitting at the Shah HaMelech, that the whole Nes of Purim was able to occur in the end. And a little bit later, Vayetze Hasach al Mordechai, al Rechoy Vayir, Asher Lifnei Shah HaMelech. Where's Hasach going to find Mordechai, if not by the Shah HaMelech? And of course, V'chiroyis Haman es Mordechai b'shar HaMelech v'leikam v'leizam imenu v'yimali Haman al Mordechai chema. That what disturbed Haman, what infuriated Haman, was the fact that Mordechai was Yoshe b'shar HaMelech. V'chol zeinenu shavili, after everything which he had, v'chol eis asher ani royes Mordechai Yehudi Yoshe b'shar HaMelech. It's not worth it to me if Mordechai is sitting. It's not that Mordechai doesn't get up. At the end of the day, it's that Mordechai is Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. And of course, as we mentioned before, that is Mordechai, as he's chosen by the king, by the Malkus Shel Olam really, to be the one to be celebrated and recognized, V'aseichein, the Mordechai HaYehudi HaYoshe B'Shar HaMelech, like the Gemara mentions. And after that, as he's done with that, Vayashav Mordechai al Shah HaMelech. Immediately he returns to the Shah HaMelech. And that's Haman's Nefilah, as the Pasuk continues, V'Haman Nidchaf al Beisel. That as Haman comes rolling home, Mordechai is Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. There's seven times. That if you want to know where Mordechai is, he's at the Shar HaMelech. Now begs the question, what does it mean to be Yosher b'Shar HaMelech? So as we mentioned before, then Achashverosh threw a Suda. And he celebrated the fact that the Beis HaMikdash would no longer be rebuilt. And Mordechai warned the Jewish people, and he was the one who was outspoken, Chalila v'chas, to go to such a Suda. If you do so, it's like you're bowing down to Haman, it's like you're agreeing and you're giving in to the fact on some level that there's a nitzitz of suffix in your heart that you'll allow Malik to just grab onto. That maybe, there won't be a Bingin Beis HaMikdash once again. And the Gemara tells us that Achashverosh pulled out the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. And as we read in the Tune of Eicha, V'chelim, Mikhelim Shainim, and he brought out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Vilna Gaon says that the reason why he made his Malchus in Shushan Abira is because he really wanted to take the throne of Shlomo and to bring it to Bira, to Shushan Abira, but he couldn't move it, so he replicated it. And all that, of course, was his way of portraying and to telling the world that there will no longer be a Beis HaMikdash. That this is all historical. This belongs in a museum. This is called Kelim V'Kelim Shainim. These are outdated artifacts. And that's exactly what Haman says. Yeshno Am Echad. Of course, as mentioned by Moshe Tzvi, Yeshno Yishinim in HaMitzvos. But another Chazal says, Atika. They're an old people. They're extinct at this people. That they're for the history books. And so therefore, Achashverosh and Vashti and Haman, they band together to make sure that under no circumstances should the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt. This is the last thing, because they know that if the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, this is the end of the Malchus of Achashverosh. And Chazal tells us that Vashti was the one, that although Achashverosh started to build the Beis HaMikdash, Vashti was the one who stopped it, and that's why she died. And together with Haman, he was the one who stopped it, and that's why he died. And Achashverosh tells Esther, Al Chatzi HaMalchus, there's going to be no Beis HaMikdash. You can ask me anything which you want, but there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because that would mean that 187 days of celebration is nothing. That the whole life, when we take a look at the lives of these behemoths, that the whole inyan, everything that they were about, was no Beis HaMikdash. And Haman represents the Satan. And therefore, anything which has to do with Beis HaMikdash, you can count on the fact that the Satan is right there. But for every Satan to Tumah, there's a Satan to Kedusha. And the Gemara says in Chelek, the Rebbe Shuv ben Levi asked Eliyahu HaNavi many questions about Mashiach. And one of the questions he asked him about Mashiach is, where is Mashiach? Who is he? Where can I find him? And Eliyahu HaNavi tells him that this Mashiach is Yosef Epischo Shel Roimi, that he sits at the entrance of Rome. That's where you'll find him. But in the same way Mashiach sits in the current Golus at the Pesach of the Shar HaMelech, that he sits in that place called Epischo Shel Roimi. There's a Jew called Mordechai HaTzadik, who's Yosef B'Pesach at the Shar HaMelech. what it means to be Yoshev at the Pesach of Remi means to say that you're doing Melchama. That in a secret way, without anybody knowing who you are and what you're doing, that you're engaged in the same activity as the Satan is doing, but just in the opposite way. That just like we say about the Satan, La Pesach Chatas Revet, that you can find him that at any Darish Shevikdusha, he sits at the Pesach to snatch neshamas and to take away Kedusha and to make sure that every event, every gathering, any Darish Shevikdusha, any Asik with Darish Shevikdusha should fail. There's a Jew called Mashiach Tzidkenu who sits at the Pesach Shel Roimi, that every attempt which the Goyim try, that the court in Malchus tries to make Zeris against Bnei Israel, there's a Sanhedrin, there's a great defender of the Jewish people. And that's called Mashiach. And that's called Mordechai, who's Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. That his life revolves around Kovet Shemayim and it revolves around the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Medrash says here, that Mordechai sat there because Ulai, maybe Achashverosh will once again agree to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why his name, the Gemara says, Mordechai Zu Psachya. Psachya means that he's Yoshev B'Pesach. That's why it's called the Ishimini. Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. That even though everybody forgot, and Achashverosh and Haman did everything which they could to make the Jewish people forget about a Beis HaMikdash, this is ancient history, there was a Jew who was always being Mechazik B'nai Israel. That if the Torah says, if the Nevi'im say that there will be a rebuilding, there will be a rebuilding. No matter what circumstance. Even if there's gzeiras upon gzeiras, shlahashmid laharig la'abed. If he's Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech means that you couldn't shake Mordechai from Migdavik to the Tachlis, which is the Haftacha, that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And there's nothing which the Satan hates more than that. B'cholei Sasher Ani Roya, as Mordechai Yehudi Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. That as long as Mordechai was Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech, he was invincible. He couldn't touch him. And as the Pasuk says, V'yetzi Hasecha Mordechai El Rechoy V'ir Asher Lifnei Shah HaMelech, that he went out to the Rechoy V'ir, which was in front of the Shah HaMelech. But he couldn't get into the Shah HaMelech, that was only for dignitaries, like Mordechai. And you know what? He wasn't in the Shah HaMelech, he was only at the Rechoy V'ir, and Haman was able to kill him. Like the Gemara says, we don't find anywhere else about Hasach, he's gone. He was killed by Haman. But if you're inside the Shah HaMelech, you're protected. And so therefore he knew that as a matter of what he did, there was nothing which he could do to stop this one Jew, the great defender of the Jewish people, that as long as he was in the Shah HaMelech, he was invincible. He was the Kach Yasa La'ish, he was the chosen one. Asha HaMelech Chafetz Bikaro. That there's something which has so chendik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that finds chen in the eyes of such a Jew, in the eyes of Hashem. And there were great people in the generation. There were other Nevi'im. Mordechai wasn't even considered to be the head of the Lishchas HaGazis. He wasn't the head of the Sanhedrin even. In Pnimius he was the head, but in Chitzonius he wasn't. But from here was Nisgala, what the Ikar Avodah is. What is so chashuv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? B'seifa shal davar Haman is nitla la'itz. And we find in the Midrash in various opinions as to where this eitz comes from. And according to one opinion in the Midrash, this is the eitz from the Kodesh Kachim. And of all places, the fact that Haman was hung on an eitz, or he took an eitz from the Kodesh Kodashim, sent a very powerful message to the Jewish people at the time, and also to us. It sent a message to the Jewish people that the Beis HaMikdash is not dead, it's alive. Ani Yeshein Avali Bi'er. And this was the nekama which the Beis HaMikdash took out on Haman. That he makes against the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a spark within the Beis HaMikdash called the Kodesh Kodshim, which can never die. Called Doidi Doifik. And the Kodesh Kodshim came to take Nekama on Haman. How dare you try to eradicate from the minds of the Jewish people that I would come again. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Just by the Rechem is, the Ari HaKadosh says that Haman was hung on it in Ois Kuf. So if you take Kuf and Haman, it spells Nekama. That this was the Nekama that the Beis HaMikdash took out on Haman. With Purim coming up, and of course, Purim is the day of the highest, the climax of Simcha. Even the beginning of Adar is Mishinech Nasadar Marvav Simcha. Alachas Kama Vakama Purim itself. Nevertheless, we find that before a Jew is able to enter into Purim, he must cross first Tainis Esther. That in order to get into Purim, there's a corridor. And this Tainis Esther is the Shaar HaMelech. And what Tainis Esther really means, it's not just to recall the Nes that Mordechai and Esther, that they fasted for 3 days. Otherwise we'd be fasting 3 days. But really Tainis Esther, it blends in with the other tainus which we have during the year, which we have Slichas also on Tainus Esther, to remind the Jew, to remind us that the only way to enter into Purim is to go through it. That the Gemara tells us at the end of Tainus, Kol HaMesabel al Yerushalayim Zayich Ali Raisa Bibinyana, that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt on Purim. That there is a Beis HaMikdash. Like we know, Kishem, Shemeshenechnas Av, Rumemata B'Simcha, Meshenechnas Adar Marvim B'Simcha. Adar, we know the Svarim say, is Aleph Dar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dar, there is a Beis HaMikdash. But in order for a Jew to be toying the real time of what Purim is, he has to enter into Tainis Esther in a meaningful way. But when the Poskim asked that if Tainis Esther is Nidcha, Purinusa L'makdina, we don't bring it earlier, we should make it later. We should make Tainis Esther after Purim. What's the big deal? But Chazal understood B'chachmas, and you can't. How can you go into Purim without Tainis Esther? How can you go into Tainis, into Purim, and to drink, and to do mitzvahs, and to be happy, if he doesn't come through the door of Tainis Esther? That there's a Beis HaMikdash, which is we're talking about here. And the whole story revolves around the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why we bring the Machzitz HaShekel on Tainis Esther. This is a zecher for the Beis HaMikdash. That a tzaddik can give Machzitz HaShekel, he could cry. He could cry by giving the Machzitz HaShekel. It's one of the only zechirs which we do the whole year. Bepoyel. But it has to be done at Tainis Esther. This is the environment. This is where it belongs. This is what Tainis Esther is to an Ish Pnimi. It's a Tainis of the Haster Aster Panai. That's the Esther Minatoyer Minayin. That's what the Tainis is really about. It's not just a recollection. It's not just a Zecher. It's a living Tainis. And so therefore, those who are in touch, so those tzaddikim who are zeicha, and each person on their level to have a relation, a connection to Beis HaMikdash. that they experience the Nes of Purim and the Day of Purim and the Or of Purim in a totally different way. That's what the Megillah describes at the beginning, that there are many different places that people can be placed in the Beis HaMalchus. There are those who are in the Chatzer, and the Ginas, Bis HaMelech, like the Gemara describes. And the same thing is true on Purim. There are those who are in the Chatzer of Purim, there are those who are in the Gisan, there are those who are in the Bayis. And it all depends how much a person has a shayches to what the Nekuda that Mishta was about, which is the Nekuda of the Beis HaMikdash. And to a person who was so mekusher to Beis HaMikdash, like Mordechai HaTzadik, how could you go to such a Mishta? The Medrash says on the pasuk La Yehudim Hay Sa'ir V'Simcha V'Sasan V'Kar. This is one of the pesukim which we read B'Kol Ram, and this is really one of the climax points of the entire Megillah. This describes the return to Torah and to Yontiv, to Mila and to Tfilin, and the happiness. The Medrash says that the word Visasoin is spelled Chaser Vav. And the Medrash says the reason why it's Chaser Vav is because Ein Simchasenu Shleima, since there's no Beis HaMikdash. That Gufa in the climax, the pinnacle of the Nes, as we recited B'Kol Ram and as we sang it just now, B'Simcha V'Sason Mamash Chazak, that at the end, there's a small remez, like an Amma Alama at the Pesach Abayis, at the Pesach Sheh HaMelech. By the way, don't forget, there's no Beis HaMikdash. It's Asel Adam L'Malei Schoik Piv, as the Rishonim say, until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. That there's still a Chaser Vav. That the Sason is not Shalim. As the Gemara says, Akati Adi Dach V'Sheir Shanon. As Rabbi Sachs, the Rashiv and Landers, as he pointed out so beautifully on Monday, I'm sure it's brought down in other Sfarim, that the Baal Memra, which is Rava, who says, Chayvinish L'Besume Yad Lo Yada, is also the Mandam of the Gemara, who says, Akati Avdi Dach V'Sheir Shanon. That although the Zechi of Mamish to be B'Simcha Ad Lo Yada, there's an aspect of the Gilu Birada of Akati Avdi Achashverosh, and in that note is how the Megillah ends. That Achashverosh is Matal Masa Kol Haaretz, that he's still Shoilet here. That at the same time as we read the Megillah B'Simcha, we say Psukim B'Kol Ram, we recite Psukim B'Lashon Eicha. Mamish, we use the tune of Eicha in the Megillah. Now, of course, on the simple level, it's just because that's the way things are swinging, that it was so terrible, and everything turned around to be in our favor, v'nahapachu. But to an ish pnimi, it's much more than that. That it's meaningful because we're still in galus. And if we weren't still in galus, we wouldn't be singing that tune. Because Kishazek comes enough, all the Gemara says, that if Romi is up, Yerushalayim is down. And if Yerushalayim is up, then Romi is down. And if Shushan is up, Yerushalayim is down. And if Yerushalayim is up, then Shushan is down. And that's the way the Mordechai saw it, that he's Yoishiv Bishar Melech. Then his discreet way, he sat there, and he was Mespalel, and he did his Avodas HaKodesh in a way to take down the Malchus of Achashverosh. And then the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And I say this is for Bali Madrega, because already the Gemara says about the Chubar Beis HaMikdash and the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdash, that it's an Avelis Yishana. It's an old avelus. That when I margish the freshness of it, of this avelus, like the tzaddikim do. Like the Gemara says that every generation of the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. Ki'ilu Harva in that generation. We don't see it that way. And every day is a Sudas Achashverosh to an American. We live lives in America which are not doimed to anywhere else in the world. That what we take for granted as being every day in other countries is luxuries. We're literally B'nai Malachim in this country. And Achashverosh and the Hamans of America are laughing at the Yidden and saying, ah, do they really remember the Beis HaMikdash? And even if we do, is it b'pnimi or is it b'chitzonius? What does that mean? Just last night, I had to go to the glasses store to fix my glasses, which I broke. And I was sitting in the chair, and other customers were coming in, and they were schmoozing with the sales lady there. And they're all Yidden. Everybody there was Yidden. And they started to get into a conversation. And she says, When I come to Eretz Yisrael, I put my feet on the ground and Mamish lights me up. Mamish lights me up. And they're having this conversation back and forth. And she says, yeah, when I first came to this country, I came from Romania. But before, when I was coming from Romania, I had to stop in Italy. And when I was living in Italy, so we live literally down the block from the Vatican. And every day I would go, and I would look at it. And we would go, and we would just look at this building, and it was nice. But we never appreciated. We never appreciated the real glory, the magnificent building that this is. We took it for granted. We were children. And listen, you live down the block. You get used to it. And went to the Colosseum. I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, what? So you're going to the Vatican and your memories of the Vatican are what an amazing building this is? This is the building which houses the Kelim Shoinim. That as long as this building is still standing, the Beis HaMikdash is Charev. The Vatican is like Vasikin. It's like... it's Vasik. It's old. And the other guy says, yeah... I remember when I went to Eretz Yisrael and I went to the coastal for the first time, how amazing it was. And like the yeshivas which are built, which are around the coastal, and what could be a bigger Olam Haba than to sit in Or Sameach and to look down, you know, eating your lunch and looking at the coastal, and what unbelievable sight, unbelievable. And it just hit me, I guess. Just the difference of how some one person can come to the Kotel and say, wow, what an unbelievable building this is. What an unbelievable structure this is. This is the Kotel from 2,000 years. Wow. It's like, it's a historical site. It's a historical site. And how people flock from all over the world. They come and they put on their beanies and they come and they say it's tefillah there by the crystal. They take pictures. Unbelievable. And then you have by tzaddik that he comes to the crystal maravi and he sheds a tear and he tears kriya and he sits by the crystal and he pours out his heart and he says, Halavai, we should only have a koisel here. This is just only a zecher to a churban. They say about the Chazon Ish, he went once to the koisel Rebbe, he never went again. And they say he couldn't bear to come again to the Beis HaMikdash. That an Ish Pnimi, the Nidish Neshama, versus the Nitz Chisani, they can look at the same thing, they can look at the same thing and see two totally different things. One person could see Binyan, he could see Yoifi, he could see Hadar, he could see a symbolism of the greatness of the state of Israel. And you can have another Jew who mamish that there's no place on earth that shatters his heart like a wall like this. And we probably fall somewhere in between. Mamish, different eyes, is a different heart. Libi b'mizrach. What's a chassid of the Sa'ar Shalom from Belz? He came and he gave a kfitl to the Rebbe, asking him for Hatzlacha and Gashmius and Beruchnius. And before the Rebbe can even read the kfitl, apparently he had known that he had just come back from some travel, some business affairs. And he said to him, he says, were you in Vienna? He said, yeah, sure, I was in Vienna. Did you see the palace? Yeah, sure, of course. It was very nice. And he went to Paris. Of course, went to Paris. I saw the Eiffel Tower. I saw the beautiful buildings there. And v'chahena, he's explained to him the places he went to and all the things which he saw. And then the Sa'ar Shalom Fibel goes, ugh! Let's add an anacha, a sigh. He says, you saw all this and you didn't shed a single tear? He says that all the buildings are al tila binuya v'yehar Elohim mishpeles ad shol tachtia. That a person can travel the world and he can see Europe. And you can see it's so beautiful. And it's all just taken from the Churban. That really, Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim is the ear Hayoifi. Tzion Michal Yoifi. Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. It's all shattered Kalim. But to one person, this is the beauty of the world. And it's a vacation. And to another Jew who's in Ish Yerushalayim, who's in Ish Pnimi, it all represents Churban Yerushalayim. A chassid of Moshe Misavran, a similar story, he once came to the Rebbe to ask him for a bracha for Parnassa. He says, Rebbe, can I have a bracha? And the Rebbe says, if he shakes his head or he just ignores him, as if he doesn't hear. So he says, Rebbe, nu, bracha from Panasa. And again, nu, Rebbe. So the Rebbe says to him, your hatzlacha and your business, this is what bothers you. But from the fact that we didn't bring a karban tummy today doesn't bother you. And of course this didn't happen with every chassid. But it's a window into the soul of a tzaddik. And why they chose to do it here and like this and that way, we don't know. But it is. It's a window into the soul of a tzaddik ahemes. Then people are coming, and I heard this once from my Rebbe, I believe, on Purim. Some people come and they say, can have brachas for this and the gashmius and the this and the that. How much it pains the tzaddik in the depths of his heart. That the real inyanim of Yerushalayim, of Madregas and being an issue, Tzion Yerushalayim, Ma'at Mize'er, if any, who come to the tzaddik. How many times does a person come to the tzaddik and says, Rebbe, I can't sleep at night, the churban beis hamikdash is just terrible for me. These are madrigas, betach these madrigas. But it's about the Megillah. If you want to know what it means, Mordechai at tzaddik, and why he was the one who was Zeichev, Kachi Yaseleish, and why he found favor in the eyes of the Melech Malka Shalaylam, and he was untouchable. And there were many tzaddikim, because he was Yoishev at the Pesach of the Shah Melech. And he never forgot. He refused to forget that there would be a Beis HaMikdash. Mordechai Yoishev is Gematria Yerushalayim. But Chaser Yud, like it spells many times in the Navi. Because Chaser Yud means it's not Bibinyana, Yerushalayim Chaser. Mordechai Yoishev B'Shah HaMelech. That he sat there and his mind was on Yerushalayim. And really, on some level, this is a responsibility for every one of us. And we could cry about this. But one of the first questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to know from a Jew is Tipisa Yeshua. And we see every day in Davening, Yerushalayim Mircha, and Es Tzamach, and we know that these are not the brachas which we focus on so much. And we take three steps back, and we shuckle here and there, and we say, here's my vanach, shibani, we're going to reserve that one. And already after we say, Yisrael Shalom, davening is over. Shemona Esrei is over. And Hirutzen is just protocol. Have you seen each pnimi the way he davened, and he takes the three steps back, and he hangs on to the Hirutzen, as if like this is the tachas of the whole tefillah, that Hirutzen. Shibane Bisamikdash Mehirav Yameno. Vasin Khalkina Bisach Visham Navad Khabira. And it's difficult, it's mamish difficult in a godless like this, like America, that just in a sneaky way, just to make the yidden forget about the Bisamikdash. To forget about Yerushalayim. As if Purim has nothing to do with Yerushalayim, nothing to do with Bisamikdash. How you can look at the Megillah from so many perspectives. But who would have thought that in the center of it all is that it was the end of 70 years and there was a Jew who didn't forget. And even to the last second he wouldn't forget. That if there's a Haftacha that there will be, then there will be. Ani ma'amim b'mudah shalem b'biyas ha-mashiach. Va'af al pishis me'im kuzah ha-chakale b'chol yoyim shiyop. U'morei ha-chaim b'shalich b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. Ladas ha-shalem master. Even after he was snatched away from the Shah HaMelech, he went right back to the Shah HaMelech. That although Ahasuerus tried to distract him from being at the Shah HaMelech, he didn't lose his focus. He says, this is not done yet until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. And that's it's rebuilt through Esther. Through her son. It's through these people, Mordechai and Esther, that they were Asher Haglam Yishorlayim. This is how they're defined. This is how they chose to define themselves. They wrote this Megillah. Like Rav Moshe Rozvadover said, I believe I heard this from my Rebbe. Rav Moshe Rozvadover said, and this Indian was very big, and is very big by the Rav Shitzer line, the Gez of Tzadikim, that he once told his children, he said, if it's the very last moment and the very last second of until the 6,000th year of this Golus, and I'm alive, I will believe even then B'emunah Shleim Mashiach is coming. And it all comes from being an ish pnimi. It's not something so much that a person works on. It's that the more that a person becomes an ish neshama, that only it's an avilis yishana mitzad aguf, but beside a neshama it's very fresh. And the more that a person works and his avodas Hashem is, that he wants to become more eliki, he wants to become more neshamadik, that he doesn't even allow his avodas Hashem in the Torah which he learns to be machasa on the nekud of his neshama. That's why it says in the Megillah that they were nikalu v'amoyd al nafsham. The Kamarna says they were oimen on the Nekudas HaNefesh. The Nekudas HaNefesh of where the Churban Beis HaMikdash is fresh. It's from that spark that the Beis HaMikdash should be built. So therefore, as we approach Tainus Esther, which is the corridor, this is the Shah Melech, this is the Pesach to enter into Purim. That if we understand Tainus Esther in a premium way, then we could be zeichet to understand Purim like that. And just like Eliyahu Navi was the one who came to save the day, he's the Charvayna who took down Haman because Eliyahu was the one who will be Mevaser, the Geula Shleima, because to Mordechai it was all about the Geula Shleima. So who other than Eliyahu to participate? Who other than the Kodesh Kodashim to take part in this? It's from the Schos of the Tzadikim and the Yamim Tov, my brother Nikasino the Shalom. It should be zeicher to the mitzvah hayom and to gathering here tonight. There's a hakdama for that. It's a hesayrus hanefesh to be more than the kuda of the Yerushalayim, the ish tzion within us, and with that to see meher v'mina the tzion michal yoifi b'bias goel tzedek meher v'mina amen.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, Yerimeila.